the view, I think that the healthy view and the view that actually allows you to grow and to change and develop and become stronger and better is that, you know, no, of course, I'm not perfect at this, but I am in the process of getting better. And in the process of getting better, you allow yourself a certain percentage of failure. That's the only way you get to better.
Hello and welcome to Spiritually Hungry Summer Bites. There,
snacks.
You broke me down.
Oh, no, snacks.
I'm never going to say it then.
Summer Bites. I don't like Summer Bites. I like snacks.
I don't want to say snacks.
Snacks are good.
Scooby
you
snack.
Never have a bad snack.
Kind of bad meal. You can have one too many snack, good. Though. You see what I'm saying?
Not spiritual snacks or spiritually hungry snacks.
So I think that the summer times got me just thinking a lot
about snacks,
about thoughts. So I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about beliefs. They are powerful, and when they're aligned with our integrity and goals, they support our success. Positive beliefs help us manifest what we want and make us feel better in our own skin and make us feel good. False beliefs wreak havoc and too often become self-fulfilling prophecies. I cannot tell you how many times the crux of the real issue that people come to speak to me about is that they just don't like themselves enough. They don't believe in themselves. Their self-esteem is very low. So
interesting. What percent of the people that you deal with are?
80.
Wow.
Because the belief then becomes the prophecy, right? You can't find your soulmate because you can't succeed in business because, and it's usually
that. Well, it's definitely true, right? So the power of how we think about ourselves is undeniable, right? That it's the ceiling and the floor, meaning the truer or more powerful we believe in our potential and abilities, the higher we can go. We will never be able to achieve higher than our belief in ourselves. And of course, the worse one thinks or feels about themselves, the lower they can go. A person will never go lower than the worst things they believe about themselves. So I think it's an important idea that our beliefs literally create our floor and our ceiling, meaning the highest we will, no matter how much work we do, we can never achieve higher than we believe in ourselves to achieve. And no matter how negative we are about ourselves, we can never fall lower than the lowest things we believe about ourselves. And therefore, it literally is the framework within which we can live. It doesn't always mean that we will always achieve the highest things we believe about ourselves, but we will never achieve higher than that. Right. So it's the framework within which we live.
Yeah. I like that, the floor and the ceiling. So false beliefs include, for instance, vulnerability equals weakness, which again, that belief can wreak havoc on a relationship. Or I never get anything I want. Or if I want something done correctly, I need to do it myself. So now, really, this moment that you're hearing this is the time to consciously unbelieve your untrue negative beliefs or limiting beliefs. So I want to ask our listeners, how many totally unhelpful, if not downright incorrect things do you believe to be true about you?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Before our listeners hear your question to them. How likely is it that a person will know initially, right, without really diving deeply, what their limiting beliefs are? Again, I'll ask you from experience. The people that you deal with who are coming with you, obviously, because they're obviously open to some degree to hear, to change, to know. But what percent of them you think are aware of their negative or limiting beliefs before you speak with them?
They're aware that it doesn't feel good, that they don't feel good in their skin, but they don't really understand why.
Exactly.
And usually what's interesting, actually, I just met with somebody today earlier, and he said that he thinks he's boring. And his wife, it was like a session I was doing, said, you're the farthest thing from boring. You're not boring at all. And he said, well, she said, and part of the argument in the relationship, what they were struggling with is that he says inappropriate jokes or he makes the kids and her uncomfortable by his behavior. And
very interesting, by the way.
It's very interesting.
And uncomfortable
she,
how?
She would, well, just like it's not funny or it's inappropriate or it's the wrong thing to say in the wrong crowd at the wrong time. And she was just shocked. She's like, you're the farthest thing from boring. Like, that's not anything that I would say. And I said, well, why do you believe this to be true about you? And he said, well, if I walk in a room, you know, and we're at a party, I'm just in the corner. I said, well, that might mean you're an introvert, but that doesn't mean you're boring. Well, if I go talk to people and there's three people there, two will leave and one will stay. So I said, well, maybe you're creating this whole narrative that you think you're boring, because she's like, you're not boring. And I said, it's really interesting that you have such different understandings, experiences of you, the you that you are. And then it came down to that he's not really boring at all, that he doesn't want to be rejected, right? And he thinks that he's not enough, so he keeps overcompensating in these strange ways. So it became a story. It was never about being boring, and it was never about, like, is he funny or not funny? He's taking on this whole behavior because his insecurity and this belief he's created about himself that's not even true. So it's right. An example like that. So it took like 15 minutes of talking.
Which is my point, because you asked our listeners.
No, because people have a designated issue. I'm boring, and the designated issue is I'm angry, whatever it is.
But my question again is our listeners, who are hopefully open to doing this work because it benefits them, it certainly benefits those around them, how does one really get to know what their limiting beliefs are, right? Because it's not going to be necessarily obvious.
So the tool is this, and I did give homework. The goal is to learn to love yourself, because he has very low self-esteem. So that's at the crux of it. So how do you learn to do that? To identify the negative voice or the negative belief, you have to stop and say, this thing that you believe to be true about yourself, right? How do you feel about it? Does it serve you? And think about the person you love the most in the world. Would you ever speak to them the way that you're speaking to yourself? Would you ever think things about them that you think about yourselves, right? You're able to hold space for somebody that you love so unconditionally and treat them better than we do ourselves very often. So I think part of it is you have to remove yourself from your feelings about self and kind of take a higher perspective and then kind of look from above down at you and say, okay, is this real or is this imagined? There's no other way to identify it. You have to ask yourself, is this voice nice? Or is it mean?
So
it's the mean voice that, yeah.
So to be clear, what you're saying is that one way to come to know what our limiting beliefs are.
Is he nasty? Because that voice is not your soul.
What is that internal negative voice saying to you? Mm-hmm. You know, not smart enough, right? For example. And then.
Or you look in the mirror like, wow, I'm so this. Like, who would you say?
I'm so thin. I'm just...
You are slim.
Thank
you. But you wouldn't, that's my point though. That we say to ourselves, how we judge ourselves, you really wouldn't do
that's,
that.
That's an effect of a limiting belief.
Right, but that's how you're able to kind of knock off all the judgment. That's how you're able to kind of hone in and say, okay, well, what's going on here, right?
Okay, great. But I just want to underscore how important this is for our listeners, right? Because.
But I'm going to give you a very specific tool in a second.
Every one of us is walking around with a limiting belief or limiting beliefs, and it's holding us back.
It's stopping us from living the life that we really want.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, the conversation, I gave that couple many, many tools, but it was just so interesting to see how he viewed himself versus how his wife experienced him. Anyway, so the tool is this. The quickest way to spot your less than ideal beliefs is to bring awareness to your thoughts when you find yourself reacting strongly to something. So for instance, do you hear nothing ever works out for me, right? These are false beliefs we have. Or I never get what I want. So if you start to say something like that, stop and ask, is this fact? Imagine a scientist walking into your brain and identifying the thought based on history and evidence, right? So look at facts. The scientist would find it impossible that nothing has ever worked out for you and would then give you a list of everything that has. So if I could give our listeners an exercise for summer, like a scientist, I invite you to discover and analyze your negative beliefs. Write them down, recite them, and then write a new supportive belief. So for instance, the false belief could be, I never get anything I want. The new belief could be, when I put my effort and focus toward a goal, I often achieve it. So the first, again, awareness, identifying it, and then you literally tell yourself the opposite of the negative false thing that you are saying to yourself.
And obviously not just once.
No, this is on repeat. So that's why I said all of summer, but then hopefully at that point, you're going to start to chip away at some of the negative beliefs and create new positive supportive
ones. So I think just to underscore that it's important that they use this tool, not just once, not just twice, but probably hundreds of times, right? Because you literally have to create a new neural pathway, right? So imagine, mm-hmm. I'm imagining most people with these negative beliefs, depending on their age, have had, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of times that they've had that thought, clearly to counteract that thought and to create a new belief about yourself, you will have to repeat that at probably at least as often as you have unconsciously repeated the negative one.
By the way, for most people, those beliefs were reinforced by people in their lives and their childhood saying, you are this or you'll never be that, right? So for some, it's going to be harder. For others, it's not. But you have to start somewhere and you have to slowly chip away because most of us have many false negative beliefs. Related to this idea is that everything you do matters, which can create a lot of stress, right? You never want to make a mistake, or it can make you actually live in a more conscious way. So again, first identify your beliefs, have awareness, and then shift them. But the next part is allow yourself to make mistakes and to be messy. So I read an article recently that supports this idea of everything you do matters. Basically, the idea is why letting yourself make mistakes means making fewer of them. Would you think that?
No.
Right. So basically, give yourself permission to mess up. We want to start with saying, I'm not going to be good at this right away, which, by the way, when we're kids, I mean, that's like, you don't even, there's no expectation in being good.
Some kids
you
are, just, though.
Right? No, not when you're really like learning to write a, well, yeah, you're right. They can get really frustrated.
Some kids, we know some kids who like, you know, the first time they do something, they assume that they're the best at it.
Or they get really frustrated if they're not. But I still think there's negative beliefs attached to that. I actually had an experience with one of my friend's kids a few weeks ago where she was having an epic tantrum and I missed the first part of it, but I kind of knew what it was about. She was going to try bowling and she was really proud of herself the summer before. And so she kept telling me how great she's going to be. And I was really excited for her. She was really excited. So when I came to the game and Abigail was with her or whatever, I came and she wasn't doing really well. And she could not recover from that feeling of disappointment that she had. So after like 20 minutes of her screaming, I finally just turned to her and I said, what's really going on here? And I don't even know why. I mean, I know them very well. And I said, you know, I'm so bad at so many things, but you're really excited about bowling. And if this is something you want to be good at, then practice, but don't expect to do it well at first. I'm like, there are so many things I'm horrible at, but the things that I really love doing, I keep trying and trying to get better and better because I enjoy that. And that's part of life. And then all of a sudden, she looked at me wide-eyed and she's like, I'm stupid. It's just like math class. So it wasn't even about the bowling. So my point is with the belief systems, she believed that this thing that she was good at, that she thought she was good at, and now she's not, it's going to be the prophecy of now she's just stupid in all these other areas, right? But then once we identified it, guess what? She got excited to try again. She stopped crying. It was like a different child for like the rest of the days we're together. No, and so my point is like, that's the thing with the idea of really allow, understand the importance of mistakes and the messiness of it all, but it's also very much attached to how we feel about ourselves. If you feel less than, and if you feel inadequate, of course you're not going to want to make mistakes. So it's just further proof that you're not enough, right? So it goes back to that idea of self-love.
And I really like that phrase, right? Rather than by being perfect at something.
Which is impossible.
Get excited about getting better in every and all ways, right? I mean, we've had these conversations, whether with students or family, where like they made a mistake and like, oh, I'm terrible at this. No, you're getting better at this. I mean, it's, you know, sports is the best example. That the view, the healthy view and the view that actually allows you to grow and to change and develop and become stronger and better is that, you know, no, of course I'm not perfect at this, but I am in the process of getting better. And in the process of getting better, you allow yourself a certain percentage of failure. That's the only way you get to better.
And by the way, it's not going to be comfortable at first. You know, if you say, okay, I'm going to let myself mess up, but then the fear kind of kicks in and there's going to be consequences to it, or I'm going to have to pay for it later. Like, of course that comes in, but studies show that when people are allowed to make mistakes, they are significantly less likely to actually make them. And so you want to approach this with two ways of approaching it. There's two different goals. One is be good goals, and the other is get better goals. So be good goals, you could probably surmise, it's focused on proving you have a lot of ability and you already know what you're doing. Get Better Goals is to focus on developing your ability and learn new skills. So no matter how good you are, you can always get better, right? It's the difference between wanting to show you're smart versus getting smarter. And again, if you look at it that way, any logical person would be like, yeah, I absolutely would love that. The problem with Be Good goals is they tend to backfire when things get hard, because then you doubt your ability. Oh no, maybe I'm not good at this. And then that creates a lot of anxiety. And it also kills our goals, because you don't think that you have anywhere to go from there. Getting Better goals, on the other hand, are practically bulletproof. When we're thinking about what we're doing in terms of learning and improving, we make mistakes and there'll be setbacks, but we can see that we're going in the direction that's going to help us grow. So there's three steps to reframe your goals in terms of getting better. One is give yourself time to learn something new, right? That gets so impatient, like, I should have known this already, or I should have been at this place already. The second is ask for help. Only foolish people think they can do everything on their own. The third is try not to compare yourself to others, and instead compare your performance today to your performance from yesterday. And all in all, think of life in terms of progress, not perfection.
So this, so if we had to encapsulate for our listeners from this episode, from this snack, what is the work that we're inspiring them to do?
You love a little recap. So first is to bring awareness to your false beliefs, identify and bring awareness. Then create a new belief that is the opposite of the one that you're currently holding. And then allow yourself, get excited about making mistakes and being messy with life. But I think at the core, with all of those things, you must see where you are at in terms of relationship with yourself and how much self-care and self-love you have or don't have, because that's really what it all comes down to. It's very hard to do these things when you're not liking yourself. Stay spiritually hungry.